Take your Bibles with me this morning. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. So we continue our series entitled God With Us. I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that God with us brings peace. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we celebrate the peace that God with us brings. You know, for most of us, Christmas is not a peaceful time. The influence of cultural pressures has shaped the season into a stressful time of hurried busyness that leaves us frenzied and frazzled, worried and wondering just how all this fits together with the true reason for the season. Nicole, you were sharing with me Friday night, I love the reason, but I hate the season. Some of us feel that way, you know. We love Jesus, we love the reason for the season, but everything that the season has become in our culture sometimes leaves us feeling that way. After all, there are decorations to put up, trees that need trimmed, presents to figure out, buy, and then get wrapped, crowds to deal with, parties to plan and attend, houses to clean, meals to make, goodies to bake. There are programs at school and at church. And all the while, we get ready to close out another year and a week later start a new one. Anybody want to just go home now so you have time to get ready? Sounds like what the kids were trying to teach us last week. That Christmas can be crazy and busy. But what about the peaceful? Where does that come from? How peaceful is your Christmas season? If we're honest, we might choose words like busy, hectic, and frantic to describe our lives this time of year, or maybe all year long. Maybe it's an overloaded schedule that robs you of peace. Maybe it's something more, like relational conflict, pressure at work, a lost job, an illness, the death of a loved one. You name it. For many of us, peace sounds like a long way away. A good idea? Yes. A nice thought for the holidays? Something we long for? If only we could feel the peace of God with us. Images of Christmas and war don't easily fit together in our minds, do they? But in some ways, that's what we're doing every day, isn't it? We're fighting a battle with this world, with the things that we struggle with, the things that we go through. The cold cruelty of war seems about as far as one can get from the warm generosity of the holiday season. The pain and suffering of battle contradict the joy and celebration of Christmas. But for those who fought in World War I, Christmas arrived right in the midst of an intense global battle. Life in the trenches was brutal and gruesome. New technologies such as tanks and mustard gas had advanced military capabilities to kill even more efficiently and painfully. But against this backdrop, individuals chose peace. Early in the war, during December 1914, many German and British soldiers took peace into their own hands. On Christmas Eve, they sang and played carols to each other across the destroyed no man's land, finding that they knew the same songs, even if the lyrics were in a different language. And early on Christmas Day, German soldiers walked across the scarred landscape, unarmed and shouting, "Merry Christmas," to their enemies. Allied soldiers, a little distrustful at first, crawled out of their trenches and joined them, shaking hands, exchanging gifts of cigarettes and plum pudding, and they sang Christmas carols together. In fact, some historical reports say that there was even a documented game of soccer during this unofficial ceasefire. That Christmas truce was never repeated. A Unfortunately, the officers made sure of it by threatening punishments. But on that special day, enemies placed their shared humanity before their grievances and experienced the Christmas spirit of peace in a truly powerful way. I mean, can you imagine that? My grandfather fought in World War I. I wish I'd had more time with him to ask him questions. I know that he was there. I know that he was almost taken out by a sniper. One of the things he liked to do is show us his helmet that he brought back from the war, and it had a big old dent in the top of it where a bullet had pinged off of it. Saved his life. He had a hole in his gas mask. Got a little bit of that mustard gas, not enough to kill him, but enough to, guess what, send him to Arizona. Believe it or not, he came here, did some rehab here in special places that were set up for people to recover from things like that, and then went back home and continued his life with his wife and had my mom and her sister and so on and so forth. But some of the guys who were there on that field that day experienced peace in the midst of a war. And it was a peace, if you think about it, that was brought on by Christmas. Brought on by the person of Christmas, Jesus Christ. Christmas is typically and rightfully thought of as a season of joy. But it can be a painful season for many people. Maybe you're one of them. What battles do you face today? What pain is relentlessly bombarding you as you hunker down in the trenches of life? What darkness haunts you even under the twinkling lights, the candles and the decorations, the Christmas presents, the parties? You know, we can have that same peace that those guys experienced that night. It can fill us, it can rule within us, even when we're surrounded by death and evil. God's presence and His peace can pierce even dark and painful surroundings and circumstances, including any war or emotional valley we find ourselves in. And we might not be able to end the personal, the emotional, the cultural, or the physical wars that we're fighting this holiday season. But even in those darkest places, we can lean into the God who is with us. So today, as we continue our Advent journey towards Christmas, we are focusing on and celebrating peace. The peace that has been brought into our world by Emmanuel, God with us. And my hope is that today, each of us will experience the comfort of Christ's peace deep within our souls. So let's turn our attention to another field this morning. Not a battlefield, but a field of shepherds watching their flocks by night. Luke chapter 2. Let's begin in the 8th verse. You've heard this hundreds of times, but let's share it again together this morning. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." This morning I want to share four things that peace can bring into our lives, starting right now, today. Number one, peace brings wholeness to the brokenness within us. God with us brings peace, and that peace brings wholeness, completeness to all of the brokenness that exists within our souls. See, the message to the shepherds was one of peace. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. What needs peace more than a sin-filled earth? A broken earth. What needs peace more than the men and the women who suffer because of the effects of sin in this world? Often our lives feel fractured by the wars of this life, broken in a million pieces from the battle that we face every day. But Jesus comes to put those pieces back together, to heal and to restore, to reconstruct and to make us complete. This is the peace that he brings to our souls. God with us brings peace, and that peace brings wholeness to the brokenness within us. You know it well. Sin seeks to tear us apart, right? Amen. To steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus comes to make us whole again, to forgive us, to make us new, which means he puts the pieces together again. And sometimes he puts them back differently and even more beautiful than we were before. I don't understand how he does that, but he does. So it's like the frazzled mess of the backside of the tapestry. He turns us over to reveal that he has created a beautiful masterpiece. Why don't you take a look at these pictures this morning? Go back to the first one, please. This is the backside of this tapestry. Doesn't look like much, does it? Looks like a mess. Looks like a hodgepodge of different colors and threads and frayed ends. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes that's the way my life feels. All these loose ends, all these different pieces that seem to make no meaning, no sense. But God has a way of putting the pieces together, and when he turns over the tapestry that he's been working on, we see the completeness of his picture. That's what peace brings to our lives. A wholeness that we couldn't experience any other way. And that's what peace is. Peace is being whole, not broken. And we realize sometimes that we need God's strength and God's peace to come into our lives so that we can flip the picture open and see, because of him, I am complete. I am whole. I am well. There's a poem, author unknown, says, "My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth condemn. He gives his very best to those who leave the choice with him." Peace on earth means that he comes to put us back together with his love. Let me say that again. Peace on earth means that he comes to put us back together with his love. I don't know if you're sitting here today and you need the love of God to put the pieces back together for you. But that's the peace that the angels announce. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In the words of the priestly blessing that God gave Moses that was to be spoken over the people, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That blessing was spoke over the people at all times and all occasions. And it's one that we need to receive this morning, that God gives us peace. The peace that shalom, the Hebrew word used in that blessing throughout the Old Testament, is shalom. The shalom of God. And it conveys rich, powerful meaning, so much more than just the absence of fighting. Shalom reflects safety, completeness, and wholeness. The Lord give you peace. The Lord give you safety. The Lord give you completeness. The Lord give you wholeness. This is the type of peace that's brought by God with us. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Shalom. It's the same word that Isaiah used when he said that, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom." Of the greatness of his government and shalom, there will be no end. That means there's nothing that God can't put back together. There's nothing that he can't get a hold of and bring safety and completeness and wholeness to. There will never be an end to his ability to reach out. And no matter how many pieces your life may feel today, he can make it complete. How great. He is the Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. See, when God gets a hold of your life and he puts the pieces back together, then he takes the throne of your heart. And so he reigns over it from that time on and forever. He can keep that wholeness. He can keep that completeness. It doesn't mean the battles of life go away. It doesn't mean that there aren't explosions going on all around you. But it means in the midst of that, you are whole in Jesus Christ. Number two, peace brings quietness to the noises that bombard us. Anybody get tired of the noise sometimes? Yeah. Just phone calls and letters and advertisements and meetings and people talking to you and stuff on the radio and the TV. And I mean, there's just noise all around us. And like us, I'm sure the shepherds' lives were bombarded with many noises. But peace brings a quietness to the noise. So we have that peace that brings wholeness, so we're not fractured. Then we have the peace that brings a quietness, so that we can hear. It's as if heaven stopped time to say to the shepherds and to us, "Hey, this is important. This is what you need to hear. God has come to earth and will be with you." See, we need this kind of peace. We need the kind of peace that quiets the noise. Because we will never be able to hear the voice of God and the message that He has for our lives until He quiets the noise. The psalmist declares that God's voice cries out and says, "Be still and know that I am God." In that same passage, one verse later, he says this, "The Lord Almighty is with us." I don't know if you've ever thought about that verse, but one of the reasons why God was saying be still is so that we could come to the understanding and the hearing of the fact that the Lord Almighty is with us. That's why sometimes I think Christmas is so hard to get that message out, because most of us at Christmas time are busier and bombarded with more noise than any other time of the year. So how do we find that quietness that we can hear the voice of God say, "I'm here. I'm with you. Emmanuel." A peace came upon that field that night and declared, "Be still." Herod couldn't hear above the noise, and neither could most of those around him. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3. I know I pointed it out before, but it always sticks out to me in the Christmas story. It's just a little verse. But after the wise men came and inquired where the King of the Jews was to be born, it makes this little comment. It says, "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." And that's all it says. When I think about that, I think about a lack of peace. I think about being so busy, so disturbed by the news. Of course, we know what his focus was. I don't want anybody else to be king. I'm going to take care of this. But it wasn't just him. There was disturbance going on all around, but yet nobody heard the true message that was being presented. That Emmanuel, God with us, was here. That a king had been born. And most people couldn't hear that message. Why? Because their lives were so bombarded with other noises. God with us brings peace, and that peace longs to bring a quietness to the noises that bombard us. This is the peace that God with us brings. A quietness that allows us to hear the message of heaven. I wonder this Christmas season, will you allow a peace to settle upon you that will quiet the noise long enough for you to hear once again that a Savior has been born? Yes, one of the reasons why I love our Christmas Eve service, because it's a time of just peaceful quietness. Yes, we sing and we talk about this, but it's just kind of a peaceful quietness in celebration of the Lord's birth. I love when we get to that point when we light the candles and the lights are out, and just a peacefulness settles upon us. The peace of God. I guess I love that night too, because I'm always the last one out of the building. And it's one more time to just say Merry Christmas, Jesus, before I walk out of these doors. Because there's a peace. So much of our lives is not lived in peace and quietness. And we need that peace from God. There was a beautiful piece done many years ago. Actually, it was broadcast in 1965. Many of you have probably heard it. I know I've shared it here over the years a couple times. But it's a beautiful reading done by master broadcaster Paul Harvey. And it's called The Man and the Birds. when I listen to that, you know, there's just something about, number one, about Paul Harvey's voice that kind of quiets you, doesn't it? It's like, I need to listen to this. We were watching a movie last night that had a depiction of Billy Graham, and I think about hearing Billy Graham's voice. Same thing happens when I listen to Billy Graham's voice. Just kind of like a peaceful quietness. It's like, I need to listen to this. So I want to share that with you again this morning. And my prayer is that it would cause you to find peace and quietness to rejoice in the message again.
Americans, may I direct your attention to a story which was originally published by United Press International by Lewis Cassels. A longtime friend of mine and colleague, he and I tried for many years to trace the author of these words. We never could. And it occurs to me that maybe some things are supposed to be written without credit to any particular individual. Let's see what you think after you hear this Christmas story. The Christmas story, the way it's usually told, the God born a man in a manger and all of that, escapes some moderns, mostly, I think, because they seek complex answers to their questions, and this one is so utterly simple. So for the cynics and the skeptics and the unconvinced, I'd like to submit this modern parable. The man I'm talking about was not a Scrooge now. He was a kind, a decent, a mostly good man, generous to his family and upright in his dealings with other men, but he just did not believe in all of that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just did not make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He could not swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. He told his wife, I'm truly sorry to distress you, but I'm just not going with you to church this Christmas Eve. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay home, but that he would wait up for them. So he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Now, shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. Then he went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, and then another, then yet another. At first, he thought somebody must be throwing snowballs against the living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled out there miserably in the snow. They had been caught in the storm. In a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through his large landscape window. That was what had been making the sound. Well, he couldn't let those poor creatures just lie there and freeze. So he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter. All he would have to do is direct the birds into that shelter. Quickly, he put on a coat and galoshes, and he tramped through the deepening snow to the barn, and he opened the doors wide. And inside the barn, he turned on a light so the birds would know the way in. But the birds did not come in. So he figured that food would entice them. He went back into the house and fetched some breadcrumbs and sprinkled those on the snow, making a trail of breadcrumbs to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs. The birds just continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He could not. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms, but instead they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And that's when he realized that they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. To him, he reasoned, I'm a strange, terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. And he thought to himself, if only I could be a bird now. I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language and tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them, wouldn't I? So they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. And he stood there listening to the bells. Adeste Fidelis. Listening to the bells, pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow. Paul Harvey, I hope for you and those you love, this will be a wonderfully merry Christmas.
What does it take for us to hear the message that Jesus loves us? God knew that the only way was that he sent his son to become one of us. And so he sent him not in a grand and glorious way, but in humility. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger, so that all could approach him and know that this was the Savior of the world. I pray that your hearts would be quieted enough to hear that message today, that the peace of God would calm the noise that keeps us from hearing that message. Number three, peace brings calmness to the calamities that surround us. Do you remember the story of the evening when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus? And a terrible storm arose on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, it was so bad that the disciples were sure they were going to die. Now, Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. The disciples woke him and accused him of not caring. How many of us have done that a time or two? Lord, why is this happening? Lord, haven't you heard my prayers? Lord, why don't you answer me? Lord, don't you know what I'm going through? Lord, don't you understand the turmoil and pain that I am in? Don't you care? And he got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and he commanded the storm to be silent. And the storm obeyed. Sometimes when I read that passage, I think his words were meant more for the internal storms that often churn within us rather than the wind and the waves itself. Sometimes I think he needs to speak to us and say, quiet! Be still! The peace of God brings a calmness to our spirits, even when everything else around us is in turmoil. How can this be? It's because he's the master of the storm. If only we would obey him as well as the wind and the waves did. Amen? If only we would say, okay, Lord, I don't need to freak out about this. I was going to ask, you don't raise your hand, I was just going to ask you, how many people in here, you tend to freak out when things come up? Don't raise your hand. We already know who you are. Don't worry about it. But God wants us to be still. He is the master of the storm. But there's something else that we need to hear. Another message in order for this peace to come. That night of the storm, Jesus asked his disciples this question. Why are you so afraid? The night that the angels visited the shepherds with a message of peace, before they gave that message of peace, they first proclaimed, "Do not be afraid." See, when we can receive that message of fear not, then we can receive the truth of a peace that brings calmness to our calamities. Last week, we talked about the show-stealing scene from the Peanuts special some 54 years ago as it ran for the first time and has run every year since then. Charlie Brown Christmas, the one where Linus reads from the Gospel of Luke. And today I want to talk just a little bit more about it and show not the whole thing, but just a brief segment of the same thing that we saw last week. Because there's a detail in this scene that you may have never noticed. So as you remember, Linus is the one who always carries the blanket. Right? It's called what? His security blanket. But it doesn't really symbolize security, does it? It symbolizes insecurity. The fear of uncertainty. The fear of inadequacy. And in this scene, Linus takes the stage with his ever-present blanket and he begins to recite the Christmas story. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And then when he gets to the part where the angels say, "Fear not," he lets go of his blanket. Take a look. Maybe you've never seen it.
What Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Could it be? I don't know. Maybe God just caused it to be there. Maybe nobody thought about it. But could it be that there was a message of peace? That because of Christmas, because of the story of Christ becoming one of us, we don't have to be afraid. That whatever security blankets we hold can be dropped. That insignificant piece of cloth represented all of his insecurity. Suddenly, it becomes unnecessary in the light and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the blanket falls to the floor. The blankets we carry aren't nearly as conspicuous as his, but ours are there nonetheless. The security blanket of needing more money. The security blanket of needing a drink to make it through the day. Or needing to build yourself up by putting others down. Or needing to win at all costs. We carry these blankets with us because we think they will shield us from fear. But they never can, and they never do. There's only one way to escape fear. And that is to drop the blanket once and for all and decide that you will dare to live this day in the power of Jesus Christ. Said we watched a movie last night. It was the movie of Louis Zampernini, the second movie called Unbroken, The Road to Redemption. And it chronicles his life after he was freed from that prison camp in Tokyo, after he made his way back home. And he struggled for a long time. He struggled. He struggled with fear, the fear of his captors. He struggled with anger. He struggled with unforgiveness, especially to that man known as the bird, the one who had tortured him relentlessly, who had escaped. He married a woman who was a believer, and he had been taken to church as a child, but he was angry at God because he thought God was responsible for all this. Despite her attempts to glorify God and give praise to God, he turned himself to alcohol just to try to ease the pain and the fear that he was going through. And his life continued to spiral downhill. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but he ended up in a revival meeting in Los Angeles with Billy Graham. Went the first night and he walked out when the altar call was given. His wife talked him into going again. Altar call was given again, and when Billy said, bow your heads, close your eyes, he again got up to leave and was confronted with one of the visions that he had been recurring visions, which was this man who tortured him. And basically the man was saying, I'm always going to be with you, you know. And in that moment, he finally realized that to be free of that fear, to have peace in his life, that he needed to let go of that, that he needed to turn and walk back down to the altar, and he did. And he fell to his knees, and he asked Jesus to become his Savior and Lord. And it changed his life. Why? Because in that moment, a peace came in that calmed all of the calamities. Being in an airplane that wrecked in the middle of the ocean, being in the middle of the ocean for days on end. Something he had kind of blocked out and was the fact that while he was floating in that little life raft for I don't know how many days, 40-some days, that he had cried out to God one night and said, if you save me from this, I will serve you. But he had to let go of the fear. The peace of God will bring a calmness to all of the calamities that surround us. He is God with us. And God with us brings peace. He has promised to be with us always. And He has promised to see us through every uncertain moment. And His promise is worth the risk. Linus shared with Charlie Brown the true meaning of Christmas because of this child born in Bethlehem, the one who came to bear our sorrows and take away our sins. You can drop the blanket and embrace God's presence in your life. His peace brings calmness to the calamities that surround us. You know, after that night, he never took another drink. After that night that he gave his heart to Jesus, he never had another nightmare about his time as a prisoner of war. Not one. And so what do? We do what Paul taught us to do in Philippians chapter 4. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make sense. It's bigger than all of that. It's bigger than all of your problems. It's bigger than everything that you've gone through. It's bigger than your fears. It's bigger than your unforgiveness. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds. We have people in the world today who are literally going crazy and doing stupid things because there's no peace up here. And they don't know where to find the peace. And that's why when we see the story on the news, we can't make sense of it. It's like, how could somebody do something like that? It transcends all understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is the peace that Jesus brought into and left in our world. It's the peace that calms our souls deeply. It's the calm acceptance that it is well with my soul. There's another great story we could tell. No matter what swirls and storms around me, this is the peace we celebrate today. And when Jesus returns one day, he will heal all that's been broken and restore God's complete kingdom of shalom. Number 4, peace brings praise to the messages that come from us. When we are not at peace, I know you can verify this for me, when we are broken, when we are busy, confused, stressed, and afraid, much of what comes out of our mouths brings even more hurt and pain. Does it not? We lash out, we complain, we gripe, we accuse, we vent, we tear down, we attack, we speak forth with worry and dread and fear. But with the peace of God comes a new message, one of praise and glory to God. You find it in Luke chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. You see, the peace of God brings a peace and a praise to the messages that come from us. And even more importantly, there's an even more important passage in Luke chapter 2 that I want you to see this morning. It's after the shepherds had responded to the message of the angels, and they went and they saw for themselves this baby who was in the manger. And it says in verse 20 of that same chapter that the shepherds return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, I know we read through that story so glibly and we think, oh, well, Matt, that's because they had everything good. I guarantee you, the things in their normal everyday life hadn't changed. They still had to take care of the sheep. They still had to go back to work. They probably still had problems at home. Who knows what they faced? But something had changed. The peace of God brought a praise to the messages that was coming forth. So they didn't come back griping and complaining and talking about all of the problems that they still had to face. They returned glorifying and praising God for everything that they had seen and heard. Because peace brings praise to the messages that come from us. Something had changed. The Prince of Peace had come into the world. Near the end of Jesus' life, he spoke these words to his disciples shortly before he was arrested and crucified. Now, I want you to think about it. Think about the timing of this message. He was just about to be arrested, just about to be crucified, and he spoke this: peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus knew that they needed, and we need today, this peace that comes from him, that brings forth a different message. Why was it so important that the disciples have the peace of Jesus that would bring the praise from messages that would come forth from him? Because he was trusting them to carry on the message that he had brought to earth. And if they didn't have peace in their lives, can I tell you this morning, they wouldn't have brought forth the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would have brought forth their own messages of trouble and hardship and pain. Well, we had this friend, but the Romans crucified him. We had big plans. Don't know why God didn't come through. Peace brings praise to the messages that come from us. Jesus knew his followers were about to experience a crushing blow, but he had a gift for them that was different from anything in our world. His peace is not given as the world gives. It is not a gift that can be taken away, nor is it something we can create on our own. It is not, listen to me, it is not the absence of pain, hurt, noise, violence, or uncertainty. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. Peace is Jesus with us as the Prince of Peace. And his assurance to the disciples was that even in what would appear to be the most hopeless of situations, he would be with them. His peace, his presence with us no matter what the circumstances. See, Paul told us in Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. So as we experience God's presence, we become interwoven in and inseparable from the peace that he is and that he gives to us. My wish for you this Christmas is that you would find peace. That you would find these four gifts that peace brings to our life. A peace that brings wholeness. A peace that brings quietness. A peace that brings calmness. And a peace that brings praise. Would you stand with me this morning? My prayer and my closing this morning is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. We need your peace this morning. We need that peace, that shalom that creates completeness and wholeness in our lives. We need desperately that peace that brings quietness to the noises that bombard us. Jesus, this morning I pray for those who are facing calamities in their lives, if not today, those who will be in the near future, that your peace would bring a calmness to them in spite of the storms. And I pray for a peace of God, that peace that transcends all understanding, that would bring forth praise from the messages that come forth from us. Lord, may we know this morning that peace is found in you. I want to close this way. I'm not going to take long, but I just want to ask you this morning, if you're here today and you need peace, maybe it's a peace that will put the pieces back together. I want you to come and stand in this altar. If you're here today and you need peace, a peace that brings quietness, I want you to just come and respond to the Holy Spirit for just a moment. If you're here and you need a peace that brings calmness to the calamities that are surrounding you. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need a different message coming forth from my mouth. I need a peace that brings praise. Thank you. Thank you. Just come and stand. I'm not going to take long. I'm really not. I just want to give an opportunity. Now, here's what I want you to do. We stand so many times as individuals, but what we need is each other. Amen? So you that have come forward this morning, would you just all just join close together? Take somebody's hand today. Know something. You're not alone. Sometimes when we see other people within the body of Christ, it reminds us we're not the only ones who need some peace. Because the devil comes in and he says, you're so immature for not having peace in your life. Doesn't he? Says, oh, how come you don't have this? We do have this because we have Jesus. Amen? And I want you to know you're not alone. Not only do you have brothers and sisters in Christ who love you, who are going through things as well, but you have a God who is Emmanuel, God with us. So friends, would you just stretch out your hands today and would you pray for those who you're joining hands with here in this place? And one more time, I'm just going to pray, peace. Peace, Lord. Wholeness in Jesus' name. Completeness. Lord, give us the ability to see the other side. Just even for a moment, the other side of the tapestry that you are weaving with our lives. I pray in Jesus' name for a quietness to descend upon these servants of yours today, to block out all of the other noises that are disturbing them, and to bring peace. I pray right now through the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and who's still in the boat with us today, that you would demand that there be a calmness to the storms of those that are going through them right now. That you would speak, peace be still. And not only to the storm, but I speak it to their hearts through the name of Jesus today, that there is peace and we will obey. Our hearts will conform to your command, Jesus. And we have not peace because we are strong, Lord. We have peace and we can drop those blankets of insecurity because we know your message is one of favor to all mankind. And I pray also for a peace that brings praise. And may we, like the shepherds, when we return to our circumstances, our lives, when we move out from this altar, may we do so glorifying God and praising Him. Not because miraculously all the battles have been won, but because He's going with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those before you leave up here, I want you to find two or three people. I just want you to give them a hug and let them know that you love them. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you all.